Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to pull out the key insights from our sources, basically to get you up to speed quickly.
That's the idea.
And today, we're really digging into something important. The experiences engineers are having with designing for sustainability, and also why it's becoming, well, pretty critical for more people to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Think of it as your quick download on a major shift happening in product development right now.
Okay, so what are we drawing from today?
We've got some excellent sources. We're looking at material from the PLM Green Global Alliance website and also a really relevant YouTube discussion.
Right.
That one features Joseph Oskuhl, Eric Reiger, and Matthew Sullivan. These are professionals right in the thick of sustainability within the PLM world.
And there's a sense of urgency here, isn't there? I saw the PLM Green Global Alliance material mentioning we've got less than a decade.
Yeah, less than 10 years to really reverse the trend on greenhouse gas emissions. Otherwise, we're looking at potentially irreversible tipping points. It's quite stark.
So our goal in this deep dive is to, you know, cut through the complexity and really understand how the PLM community is stepping up.
And specifically, how the design process itself needs to change.
Exactly. Okay, let's kick things off. Where do we start? With the alliance itself.
Yeah, let's start with the PLM Green Global Alliance, or PGGA. Fundamentally, it's an international community.
Okay.
It brings together PLM professionals who are focused specifically on sustainability, decarbonization, and the circular economy.
So what do they actually do?
Their main activities revolve around collaboration, education, and advocacy, really trying to highlight the role PLM can play in building a sustainable global economy.
And it's interesting, they seem very clear about their positioning.
How so?
Well, they state they're non-political, not a lobbying group. Their focus is strictly on the professional and technical side of things.
That's right. It's driven by the professional opportunities and, frankly, the big technical challenges involved in creating a sustainable future. It really comes down to the engineering.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, their aim is to educate people, advocate for these approaches, and get folks collaborating. They want PLM technologies to be recognized and, you know, properly used to tackle climate change and promote broader sustainability.
And we're talking about a whole range of PLM tools here, right? Not just one thing.
Oh, absolutely. It covers everything from the basics like PDM and CAD, right up to more advanced stuff like CAE, digital twins, lifecycle assessment, LCA.
So the existing PLM infrastructure is kind of key.
Exactly. PLM systems are already built to track product data across the whole lifecycle. That puts them in a unique position to measure and hopefully improve sustainability performance.
The PGGA site actually lists some great examples.
Yeah, like what?
Things like improving energy efficiency in products and manufacturing, helping develop renewable energy tech faster, tracking carbon footprints more accurately.
LCA, as you mentioned.
Right, doing detailed lifecycle assessments and really enabling that shift to a circular economy model. It shows the potential's already there in the tools we have.
And importantly, getting involved isn't some complicated process. It's quite informal.
Open to anyone, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. Anyone with a genuine interest in how PLM connects with these sustainability topics. They have a LinkedIn group. I think it's over 1,000 members now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It shows there's real momentum building. People want to engage.
Okay. So that's the alliance. To make this more concrete, let's bring in the voices of those engineers you mentioned, Eric Reiger and Matthew Sullivan. Tell us about them.
Sure. Eric Reiger, he's with Transition Technologies, PSC Germany. He brings, get this, 30 years of PLM experience.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's clearly passionate about design for sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
His focus now is really on embedding sustainable requirements right into the PLM system from the start.
30 years is a lot of perspective. And
Matthew Sullivan, he's with Simpa PLM Services. He represents maybe a newer generation in PLM. His background's in chemical engineering.
Okay.
And he's particularly interested in LCA and the whole digital side of engineering for sustainability.
So different backgrounds, but focus on the same challenge. What's driving them? Eric mentioned something personal.
Yeah, Eric talked about a personal shift, just becoming a more conscious consumer himself. Mm-hmm. But professionally, he highlighted the 80-20 rule.
The idea that most of the impact is decided early on.
Exactly. Roughly 80% of a product's environmental footprint is determined in that first 20% of the design phase. So if you want to make a real difference,
you have to focus upstream. Makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. And Matthew added a good point, too. He says sustainability isn't just about the environment, though that's critical. It's also about, you know, product longevity, efficiency of processes.
It's broader.
Right. Though he definitely agrees the environmental part is paramount right now.
They used aviation as an example, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that was a good case study. It's an industry known for being, well, slow moving because of regulation.
With heavy regulations, yeah.
But there's still a huge push for sustainability, largely driven by business longevity. They have to think long term.
Like the investments Airbus and Boeing are making, hydrogen power and things like that.
Precisely. Big bets on new technology. Although, that recent pause on the Airbus program.
Right. I saw that.
It kind of shows that developing these truly sustainable solutions is really complex. It takes time, significant R&D, which loops right back to needing solid design for sustainability practices.
Matthew had an interesting take on regulations, too. He called them a blessing in disguise.
He did. The idea being that, yeah, they add complexity for engineers, no doubt.
Yeah.
But they also force the industry to think about sustainability, to consider impacts beyond just the immediate bottom line.
Like the digital product passport or the ESPR eco-design rules in Europe.
Exactly. Those kinds of initiatives.
Yeah.
They push the whole system forward.
Eric made a really important point about time frame, though.
About it being a long game.
Yeah. He compared it to how long it took for PLM itself to become established. He said embedding sustainability is similar. It's a marathon. Requires building foundations.
It's like investing, right? You don't expect huge returns overnight. It's a long-term play for future stability and, well, survival.
So looking forward, what are the plans for this design for sustainability community within the PGGA? Eric outlined this a structure.
Yes, he talked about tackling it through three lenses: people, process, and technology, which makes sense.
A standard framework.
Right. And the initial focus is really understanding the current state. What is the status of design for sustainability today? What are the real requirements? What are the showstoppers?
Getting a baseline.
Exactly. And a big part of that is talking directly to manufacturers. What challenges do they see coming down the pike regarding sustainability?
So connecting the problem havers with the solution providers.
That's the goal. Bring everyone together, the people with the needs, the people with the tech, to discuss the demands and what's actually available or needed.
And the ultimate aim.
To collaboratively build best practices recommendations. Basically a roadmap.
A roadmap covering people, process, and technology for long-term sustainability.
That's the vision Eric laid out.
And what was Matthew's take on joining this community? What excites him?
He really stressed the need for open discussion, you know, defining common approaches instead of every industry reinventing the wheel.
Aerospace doing one thing, automotive another.
Exactly. He pointed out how siloed engineering often is and how that holds back progress. This community is a chance to break down those walls, learn from each other.
That makes a lot of sense. Avoid a fragmented landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe having industry-specific groups, but also a central place to share across sectors.
Yeah, that idea came up. Because let's face it, the challenges in high volume automotive are different from aerospace, which has different inertia, different time scales.
Right. You need both tailored discussions and cross-pollination.
Precisely.
They also touch on a very practical issue, time. Do engineers actually have the time to focus on this upfront?
That's a huge point. Right now, for many, sustainability is still sort of a checkbox exercise done after the main design work.
A compliance check almost.
Right. Yeah. Did we meet the regulation? Rather than, how can we design this sustainably from the start?
But Eric had a good way of thinking about it, didn't he?
He did. He basically said, look, designing for sustainability is like optimizing for cost or weight.
Things engineers do all the time.
Exactly. It just uses different data, requires a bit of a mindset shift, but the fundamental process of optimization is similar.
He really hammered home the importance of that initial phase, though.
Oh, absolutely. The need to predict the sustainability impact before you're locked into a design. That's the crucial difference from just measuring it afterwards.
Which leads to modeling, right? How good are we at actually predicting this stuff?
Well, the consensus seemed to be it's developing. Aerospace might be further ahead.
Okay.
But for many areas, accurately assessing sustainable impact up front is still, frankly, a bit of guesswork. Mm-hmm. There's a real need for better training, shared learnings, better predictive models.
And data, presumably, that came up too.
Huge challenge. Getting the right data sets and also data openness. Being able to share process information between manufacturers and suppliers. That's essential for accurate lifecycle views.
So it's not just about the engineers on the ground.
No, definitely not. Both speakers stress this. You need the bottom-up enthusiasm from engineers, people wanting to do this.
Right.
But you absolutely need the top-down push too. Board-level commitment, leadership, making it a priority. Otherwise, it just won't get the resources or traction needed.
And educating leadership on the business case for sustainability seems key there.
Vital. It's not just nice to have. It makes business sense long term.
Okay, so what are the immediate next steps for this Design for Sustainability group?
They're planning an initial gathering, a call to bring together interested folks from manufacturing companies, processing consulting firms, and the software vendors.
Get everyone in the virtual room.
Yeah. The aim is to really understand the requirements from different sectors, maybe split into working groups based on industry, and then start hashing out those best practices.
And what do they expect from people who join? What's the ask?
It's about being willing to share. Articulate the challenges you face, whether it's acceptance, technology gaps, cultural barriers.
Be open about the problems.
Right. And then match those challenges with what the process experts or consultants can offer and figure out what IT support is needed. It's meant to be a win-win, a learning environment, a place to benchmark.
So for listeners who are engineers or involved in PLM and feeling inspired to participate,
the call to action is clear. Go to the PLM Green Alliance webpage. Eric Reiger's contact details should be there. Reach out, express interest in joining that kickoff session. They want people who are ready to share their experiences and contribute.
Okay, great. So let's try and summarize the key takeaways from this deep dive.
All right. Well, first, the urgency is real. Climate change requires action, and engineers using PLM tools have a massive role to play.
Designing for sustainability isn't optional anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
And second, this PLM Green Global Alliance, specifically their new Design for Sustainability community, is a really positive, practical step. It's about collaboration.
Bringing people together to share those experiences we talked about.
Yes, and develop solutions across industries, which is crucial. Wide participation is needed.
So hopefully you, the listener, now feel well-informed about this critical trend. It's something that's really reshaping product development.
Definitely. Understanding this is becoming essential.
Okay, let's wrap up with a final thought for you to chew on.
Go for it.
We talked a lot about how sustainability assessment often happens after the design. So here's the question. Thinking ahead, what kinds of maybe truly game-changing technologies or approaches do we need to make accurate, actionable sustainability predictions right there in the earliest design phases?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How do we get truly predictive up front? Something definitely worth pondering, and maybe something the PGGA community will help answer.